National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, March 22nd, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, the scripture reading. We're reading in the Gospel of John. We read chapter 2 last week, and tonight we'll be reading on chapter 3, being read by Alexander Scorby. John chapter 3.
Chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
All right, tonight I'd like to just make a reminder to everyone that we still have the campaign for constitutional sheriffs going forward, where we're looking to send a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to our sheriffs. all of our sheriffs throughout the nation, about 3,100 and so many sheriffs. We had the same amount of counties, obviously. And it's important that we get these books out to them so that we can prime them on the Constitution, ultimately, and natural law, and to prepare them before committees of safety that we're building across the nation might make contact with them. We also have some sheriffs working with us that will also help to prime these other sheriffs and to turn them into constitutional sheriffs. Let me remind everybody that we got this campaign going on, and we need people to donate a book to their sheriff. So if you haven't donated a book to your sheriff yet, please go to our website and make a donation of those books. You should find them under People's Duty, I believe. Let me see. I think that's where we got it. Well, actually, you can click right here, Government by Consent book, right there. It's pretty much on every page. Anybody looking at the screen there should see it. And if you come down here, click here to print out the order form. We had this book was hopefully to be out February, March. I did get contact with my publisher today, and they did finish the formatting. I haven't looked at it yet. I just found out earlier today, and I just haven't breezed through it. So tomorrow I'll be going through. It'll probably take me at least a few days, maybe through the week, but I'm not sure yet, to go through the whole book to make sure that I'm satisfied with the formatting that they put together. And that being the case, then it'll go back to them, and it should go out for print at that point. I'm not sure exactly how long that takes to execute the printing. I presume pretty much immediately. Maybe they have to schedule the book for printing, you know. But in any event, that means we're very close. Here we are now at the end of March. And I guess there's a possibility the book could be released by the end of the month, or at least the beginning of next month. So it should be very close. A couple of weeks, I would imagine, at the most. That's a presumption. That book is available, and anybody who wants to get some information on this, click on that Government by Consent on the right-hand side of our website, front cover of the book, and it'll give you some basic information about what this book is about. And we also give information on the details of the book. These details right here are not necessarily correct. They were put together earlier. I should be able to update that hopefully in the next couple of days now with the details of how many pages and so on, and an exact price. The price has been all over the place since we've started it, and right now, last I heard it was going to be $50, but I think it's going to be a little lower than that. We're still charging $48. I think that's going to be a very close price. The book is about 1,000 pages. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's going to hit that 1,000, and be very close if it's not high 900s, no doubt. But I think it's probably going to hit 1,000. We'll go just a little bit over. We do have a copy of the table of contents. You can look through here to see what's covered inside the book. And you can read the book's preface. If you click on the book's preface here, that'll open up in a PDF, I believe. I think it is a PDF, yep. So you can read through the book's preface. It is 15 pages, and it should give you a really good idea of what this book is all about and basically what it covers and what our goals are. We go through the table of contents. It covers quite a few topics, and you can scroll through here to see all of the different topics that this covers, and it does get in-depthly into our founding documents. And deals very heavily into the court system, the judicial process here in the United States, and of course the militia, and many, many other things. Quite a few memorandums in this book. They're lawful, legal memorandums. It looks like I got about 27 of them there. Not sure if that number is correct. I may have to correct that. But there's about 25 to 30 memorandums. Each one of those memorandums covers a very important subject matter. Each one of these subject matters, we the people should understand and know. It's the key to really understanding our process. So anyway, going through this should be, you know, it'll give you a good view of what's going on in this book, and of course, you know, what it's covering. So let me go back up to the top of this page. Again, this is, you get here by clicking this link right here, Government by Consent book. And if you click the order to print the order form, and just fill this out, and you can order your sheriff a book. You can order yourself a book, and you can order your sheriff a book, and just tally it up, and then send a check or money order to the address that's on the top of the page here with this form. So anybody would like to pre-order a book, and we should be doing that now, because as soon as the books are printed and I receive a copy, will be, you know, these of these books, I will be getting them out immediately, and hopefully we'll be able to get to a lot of our sheriffs. If anybody sends in for a book for their sheriff, and their sheriff is already getting one by someone else, we'll give that book to the county next door to you that isn't getting a book, and so on. So it is just, you know, extremely important that we prime our sheriffs and educate our sheriffs in the Constitution, in the law of the land, and to understand what their the nature of their job is, where, that they are the constitutional law enforcer. One other thing, we've been updating also handbooks up on our website. If you go underneath People's Duty down on the bottom of that list, you'll click on handbooks. And I know I've been mentioning this, but we have put some extra handbooks up there. We've got now a copy of, I think we have the Sheriff's Handbook up there. Yep, we've got the Sheriff's Handbook. Matter of fact, that was just updated again today to the latest. So Sheriff's Handbook is up there. We have the Committee of Safety Handbook, which is probably the first one that people should start off with. Because the first order of business is to create the Committee of Safety and set things up in such a way so that you're ready to go forward with all of the processes that we need to work on the grassroots level. And this needs to be going on in every county. We also have the Jurist Handbook. And the dates we have on this is when the last update. So you might want to keep an eye on this, because we are updating these books. If you download these books and you read them, in the, of course, they're PDF books, so they're free and you can print them off right off of your computer. And if you can't, if you don't have a printer, or maybe you're coming in to us through a smartphone or whatever, you know, you can take a copy of this through a USB, you know, thumb drive. Well, I suppose you'd be able to take your phone and download it right from there at Staples or wherever, Office Max or someplace like that, where they can print off a copy of this for you. But everybody should be reading these things. We also have the sheriff. Well, I said the Sheriff's Handbook. We have the, let me just look at this quickly. Yeah, the Jurist Handbook, the COS Handbook, the Sheriff's Handbooks, and there'll be a couple of more. We do have a Militias Handbook. That's available on the website. Also, if you go down on the right-hand side of our website, and down, scroll down, and this is pretty much on every page, you'll see the militia of the several states, and it's by Brent Allen Winters, and you can get the book off of Brent's site. I'm not sure what the charge is on that one. That's a pocket handbook, professionally printed. Stick it in your pocket. And when Brent comes on, maybe you can tell us what the cost of that militia handbook. But you can click on this link or directly to his site. Let me click on it. And you'll go to commonlawyer.com. And, $20 donation. So anyway, you can get that. All of the handbooks that we're doing here on the website are all PDFs. They're free of charge. And like I said, you can download and print them. We will eventually be printing these handbooks out in a professional fashion on a pocket handbook that you can put into your shirt pocket. And hopefully that should come soon. As soon as we are able to do that, we'll start printing them out. And people want to buy the handbooks, pocket handbooks, they can buy the pocket handbooks also. a lot more convenient, especially at meetings, to be able to pull that out and priest through it, but the PDFs could suffice also. Anybody could print out our PDFs, but we do ask, no one should be selling it. We know we've had some people selling some of our handbooks, and we're going to stop that. We're giving it freely. We don't want people to make money off of this. So you can print them, if anybody wants, they can print them off, but we ask people not to, print out pieces of it or we're trying to sell this. It's not up for sale. If anybody finds out anybody doing that, we'd appreciate it if you let us know so we can tell them to cease from doing that. On this page also, we have some other things like the Committee of Safety Charter, the Committee of Safety Resolution, the Committee of Safety Vow. We also have a copy for a recall petition, which I'd like to talk a little bit about maybe. But first, let me look at a few other things. We also have the Jurist Questionnaire, okay? And we put this together a little while back. If people want to read through this and maybe give us some suggestions of some other questions that might be appropriate to ask the jurist, before they actually take on the job of either grand jury or trial jury, there is a basic questionnaire. There are certain questions that they have to answer. It's important for us to know. There are a lot of questions that are being asked by questionnaires being done by the federal court, state courts, and other courts when they ask questions to the jurists. They ask a lot of questions that is totally inappropriate. So we want to be very careful not to ask a jurist anything that would be inappropriate. I know on the federal handbook, and I know on our website we have a copy of this somewhere. On the federal handbook, when they ask questions, some of the things they may ask them, if they have a weapon, a permit to have guns, they'll ask them. A lot of personal questions, maybe they'll ask them, what kind of TV programs do you watch? What news do you watch, CNN, ABC? Really they're doing this in order for them to be able to stack juries. It's totally unlawful and shouldn't be done. But again, the courts, the judges, the lawyers in these courts, they're just not obeying the law at all. Anyway, we want to make sure we just ask necessary questions. So people can go through that and give us some thoughts on that if you want, and especially if there are any questions you really think that we should be asking. I'm sure we've missed some, and we'll add to it as we go along. The Sheriff's Handbook is very important. That's something that you can get to your sheriff right now or at any time. But we really shouldn't be contacting your sheriff until you get the committees of safety going. If you have some organized, there's a lot of, different groups out there right now, patriot groups throughout the nation, and they've already made some contact with their sheriffs, so they've got a little bit of the communications going. And in those situations, it's a good idea now maybe to get them a copy of this sheriff's handbook. And then eventually a copy of the book, Government by Consent, again, being extremely important to prime these sheriffs, to educate them. And believe me, once they go through this information, they will never be the same. They will be better. They'll look at their job with a whole different new perspective and an understanding of who they are and what they should be doing and how they should be there for the people. The sheriff ultimately is there to protect the king and the king's court. That's the purpose, ultimate purpose of the sheriff. So the people are, the kings, ultimately, we're kings of our own, domain, so to speak, I guess. Our kingdom ends, where someone else's begins. But it's up to the sheriff. We're sovereign people, and it's up to the sheriff to be protecting the sovereign people, to uphold the law, and to protect the courts. Of course, they got other duties all connected to that anyway, but basically that's the two focuses that the sheriff should have. We also have up here a recall petition. It's good to see that a lot of the states, let's say California, for instance, just on its own is trying to recall the governor. I understand they have well over 2 million signatures now. I think I heard that they're expecting to get an easy 3 million. So they're getting a lot of signatures onto that. We do have, like I said, a recall petition here. When just looking at the petition, you'll see the process by which we could do it. Once we organize across the nation and you get your counties organized, and especially all the counties in your state, just organizing alone could become very powerful, because the people themselves can recall. And you can recall anyone in any state, or even, you know, in your county government, your town government, state government, and, of course, the federal government. We can recall any one of them. I think the only one that cannot be recalled would be the president. In order to remove a president, you know, there's a different process for that. As we've seen with Trump on two occasions, they've tried to get rid of him. But other than that, anybody that is elected can be recalled. Anybody that is appointed and breaking the law, not upholding the oath, doing something inappropriately or unlawfully, we would go after the individual who appointed them, and because they would have been appointed by an elected individual. And so we'd seek out that elected individual, and we would expect them to correct the person. If they don't listen to us, we would expect them to correct the person that they appointed. And if that doesn't work, they need to get rid of them. And again, if they ignore us or if that doesn't work, we recall that individual. So that's the power of the people. That's one of the major things of being able to have government by consent, is to get rid of these people that are not doing their job correctly, violating their oaths, and destroying this nation, destroying our republic. let's see what else we have here. We also have, we have the Committee of Safety Charter and also the Committee of Safety Resolution in both Word and PDF. Now, we'll be putting other paperwork up here and other handbooks up here. There's a couple other handbooks we're still working on. We'll get them up here as soon as they're done. And I would suggest, as I said a little earlier, the first handbook people should read is the Committee of Safety Handbook. And like I said, because that's the first place we're going to start in order to take back our nation, to have government by consent. And through that process, going through the handbook alone, you'll see the plan on how we expect to take back the courts by getting court administrators, but jury administrators. There are people that in government within our counties that control the jurors and pull them together, and we need to take that job away from them. And the people need to do it. We can get into more details, and of course, as you read through these handbooks, you'll get more details on this. So again, I strongly suggest starting with the COS handbook. Once you read that, then you should be going through the other handbooks, because of all the things, because it's going to be the job of the Committee of Safety to move forward the agenda of taking back our political process by encouraging people to run for committeeman within their election districts and to gather together. Now, a lot of the elections for committeemen already is passed. I think New York is still a little time to run for committeemen. But it doesn't matter whether we run for committeemen this year or next year. We can run next year, that's fine. But we can operate as committeemen immediately. As long as we can pull the numbers together of people, we can organize within our counties, within our states, the committeemen, and we can act as committeemen, and we'll have just as much clout and power and authority as the unelected committeemen already have, which is those committeemen are controlled by private associations. The two major ones, of course, that control the whole process is the Democratic and the Republican parties or private associations. Now, none of those people are elected, and yet they go and do the job of an elected committeeman. And there is a restriction for that when you go into the courts, because they're not elected. So the courts really can't make too much of a decision on that, on any kind of an argument or a complaint that might be brought into the courts, because they'll say, hey, that's a party problem, go deal with the party. You know, it has nothing to do with the election law. But the committeeman has everything to do with election law. It's the process by which we control our government on the political side of our government, which is anybody who's elected. And it's the process where we put people onto the ballot. It's the process where we reject people from getting onto the ballot. is a process where we can require that these individuals understand the Constitution. Of course, we need to know the Constitution so we can ask these people questions. We get to interview anybody running for office that affects within our, our election subdivision, political subdivision, shall I say. And so we need to know, of course, the Constitution, and we expect them to know the Constitution. And we won't know if they know it unless we know it, obviously. So, again, that's why it's very important to really read these handbooks and also get a copy of the book, Government by Consent. You can also take our course, Government by Consent. It's the only course we charge for. And really, we don't charge for the course directly, but we ask that people give a $5 or more donation a month in order to take that particular course. And, if people don't have it, we've had some people who are really, in bad shape, financially speaking, and they just couldn't even afford the $5. So, of course, if they get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org, Jan will flip the switch on our site so you can get access, because we want everyone to get this education. So if people are really that strapped, bad, hard, financially speaking, then, we'll flip that switch for you. Excuse me. We also have other courses on our website. Let me just go up here a little bit. We have some courses under the course. We have a free civics course, an extremely important course. It's 120 hours, approximately, and it explains exactly how in America got to where we are today, how they pulled off what they have done. Not necessarily in detail of the work that the Bar Association has done, the American Bar Association particularly, has done to destroy this nation by taking over the control of the of just about everything in our government. They control the legislators. They seem to write all the laws for the legislators, and we've heard how they got the particular laws that they wanted to pass, and they don't even have time to read the papers, and they say, well, vote for it, and then you can read it later. Boy, that's something that they can get away with saying something like that, and the people are helpless not to be able to do anything about that. But we can. We can. That's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to teach the people, to train the people, to show them how they can have government by consent. So it's up to us to save this nation. Again, we do have a lot of trust and hope in the work that Trump has done and continues to do. But he may be able to do certain things and bring us to a certain point, but it's up to the people to take control. And if we don't, we'll only end up right back where we started from. Okay, we also have a free Constitution course. And that was a course I took down. It's a very simple course, but it does breeze you through the Constitution, and it's a short course. I was asked by a couple of people to put it back up. So I believe we did put it back up. I'm not sure whether it's actually been done. Jan, maybe you can check in on that and make sure that the Constitution is up here. It shows on my page, but I don't know if it shows on everyone else's page. Jan, maybe you could check with, or just check to see if that course is still available. And if it's not, maybe
okay.
You could talk with Carl and have Carl make sure he turns it back on again for anybody who might want to take that course. But it's a very simple course. Something we had put up very quickly in the beginning, and now that we've got the Government by Consent course, which gets into in-depth study of the Constitution, that course will supersede this one. But a good primer, that could be a good primer course. Also, Brent has some constitutional courses. He goes blow by blow by the Constitution, and so people might want to search that out also for another point of view or perspective of looking at the Constitution and coming to a better understanding. Maybe between us we'll fill in all the gaps and be pretty accurate or pretty complete in our look at the Constitution. We also have a free militia course. We actually use the book, The Militia of the Several States. Again, that booklet that we looked at, it was a handbook by Brent Allen Winters. So Brent and I, we worked to put that discourse together. Pretty much it was, we took Brent's book or booklet and we actually took that to create the course. And he did some really in-depth research and studies on that, so it's a really good course. So we put that together, and so we got a good course on the militia. Everybody should take that course eventually. Of course, as I mentioned, we got the government by consent course. And then if you want a certificate of completion for any of these courses, you can click on that button and order that, and we'll send you out a certificate of completion once you've completed the courses. So anyway, very important, if you read through these handbooks, okay, then you will really see and understand the entire plan that National Liberty Alliance has. Of course, there's always more information to add and things to fill in there, but basically you'll get a really good picture of exactly what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it, how to organize and how to go forward with this process and build a committee of safety in your county. So extremely important for this, for us to do these things. And let me see if there's anything else I want to quickly look at before we move on to the next step here. But we also have further education, okay? Under our education tab here, we've got a lot of information. We've got bounding documents, okay? We've got the Federalist Papers, we got the Anti-Federalist Papers, we've got biographies and autobiographies, and we do have a few state constitutions. If we don't have your state constitution up here, maybe you can look for it online and then get us a copy and we'll post it. We do need a PDF copy. We do not want a link that has to go to a website where you can read it on the website. It needs to be a PDF copy. So, again, people should try to make sure their state constitution is up there. We have essays and lectures on all kinds of things here. On essays and lectures, for instance, let me just click on that page. Well, maybe that's not the right one. Hold on. That may be a bad link. And let me move down the line here. We've got American history lectures. And these are our videos. As a matter of fact, a lot of these lectures are part of our civics course. Okay, so we have Thomas Woods, who is the instructor on most of these particular video courses right here. Very well done, very in-depth, a lot of great information, fills in a lot of gaps, talks about things that we totally were not unaware of, that haven't been taught in school or any other place. So we also have under here NLA topics by PowerPoint video. These are topics that we've covered online, I believe. Yep. And so we've taken the video clips of some of our, what would you call these? These are PowerPoint videos that we put together and on a different subject matter. NLA Solution to Government by Consent, U.S. Supreme Court Abuse of the 10th Amendment 10, Slavery in America, Law and Equity, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, Democracy versus Republic, Treason by Enemies Domestic, Amendment 2, NLA's Plan in a Nutshell, and I think you can download these here. I think that's what this is. Let me click on that. Oh, no, this is the written forms. Okay, yeah, these are written forms here. So you can download the written PowerPoint videos, you'll have it, the PDFs you can download. All right, and there's quite a bit more. People should go through this. We offer a lot of books that you can come in. All these books are available for free. They're all PDF. We have political documents, particularly, George Washington's Farewell Address, for instance, is really a very powerful document. Talks about our political process and the problem with parties, and the fact that a natural law republic, which is what we are, should not have parties. There is no need for political parties with a natural law republic. There's nothing for these people to discuss. You know, these people are discussing things that want to destroy our Constitution. They want to make changes in our Constitution or do away or lessen our rights. They're always attacking the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, particularly. Due process is a major problem in the courts. We're not getting it. And so, you know, they've really set forward to destroy America by destroying our founding documents, our law of the land. The law of the land is no longer upheld in the court. Let me repeat that. The law of the land is not upheld in our courts. I don't care what court you go into. Once in a while, they may give you something, they throw you a bone because they're not affected by maybe deciding a case on your side for you. But generally speaking, you go up against the government, you go up against the institutions, corporate America, you're not going to win. It doesn't matter how great a case you have, you're just not going to win because they've totally stolen our courts and they do not uphold the Constitution. You know, they give an appearance on when we look and you listen to what's going on in the news, they give an appearance as if they're being obedient, and sometimes they kind of let things go and to do the right thing because they don't want the people to see, and they figure they'll fix it later. But over the past year or so, it's become pretty clear to everyone they're not upholding the Constitution. The courts have no desire to save our nation. They've had that opportunity, and they failed. And they need to be indicted. And we are going to consider an indictment at some point in time. We need to wait to see what finishes up with Trump and the military and see where we land at that point. And if these judges are still there, with the exception of the couple of judges that did stand up for the people, not enough, unfortunately, but the rest of them, I think they deserve an indictment. So we'll have to wait until we get to the other end and see how things go, and then make that consideration. We, the people, will come together with the unified United States common law grand jury in order to consider an indictment on the United States Supreme Court justices. Well, the last communications we've had with them was our final note to them, and I don't think we're going to send any more information to them until we get to the other side, and they'll be met with indictments. We have indicted about 200 judges. I believe that number is correct. I'll be talking with Jim about that hopefully this week, and he can correct me if I'm in error there. But we've got a lot of indictments going through. We've got quite a few cases connected to our case against the United States Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court betrayed the people in 1938. In 1938, with the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, where they abrogated the common law. It's gone. Doesn't exist. Finished. And they claim to have combined natural law and equity, which is a total impossibility. It's like trying to mix oil and water. It's just total impossibility to bring those two courts together. But in any event, they claim to have combined it. And we're now under the title civil law. Now, that's the truth. We are under civil law. If you talk to lawyers, a lot of lawyers are being taught, and they'll say to you, we're under Roman law. That brings us under Babylonian law. It's the law of the city, the law of the municipality, and it's a law to control the people, to enslave the people. You know, we should be under no law at all. Samuel Adams said, the natural law of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will of legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature as his rules. So the way our nation was put together brought us underneath the common law, natural law. And we're not under civil law. We are the sovereigns. We are the lawmakers. We the people ordained and established the Constitution for them, so we're above the law. We're the lawmakers. They need to be obedient to the law. And we've given them certain powers and certain authorities. We vested them with certain powers, but we restricted that. They are not the sovereign. We the people are the sovereign. At best, we can call them eclipsed sovereign. You cannot take an individual that is the servant and permit the servant to rule over and judge the master. Nowhere in our founding documents, nowhere within our law, nowhere within natural law may one man rule over another man. So you cannot have a judge. All of the court cases that have taken place over the past 100 years or so, where a judge has made a decision, is unlawful. It's null and void. They don't have that power. They don't have that authority. Common law does not give it to them. And we, the people, surely didn't give it to them. But they took it. They robbed it over time. And people have fallen asleep. They haven't been we haven't been doing our job. We haven't taken control of our nation. And it's up to us to take it back. It's up to us to bring back the law. So right now, of course, we're being abused by these people who are our servants. They think that they are our masters, and they have robbed us of our liberty. They have robbed us of our heritage. So we need to fix all this. The people can fix it, and we can fix it as fast as we can organize. We're organizing now, and we're asking for people to build the committees of safety, start working on that. And again, under the people's duty, all you have to do is click on the first tab, come down here, organize your county of safety. And we have a couple of videos here. And we have basic information and structure on what this is about. It's more in-depth, of course, in the handbook. This is kind of a general thing, a general idea of putting this together. And how to bring people in your neighborhood and getting them together in different liberty groups. And who you might invite. I mean, people can think of all kinds of different groups that exist within your counties that you can invite to your first meeting. And you get a few coming from each one of these different places, and they will go back and bring others together, because this is the way we control our nations. This is the way we have government by consent. This is how we control our courts. This is how we control a political process. This is how we get rid of all these bad apples hopefully put a lot of them in jail. But anyway, you can invite, we've got a whole list here of different people you can invite. People should all be asked to bring other people. But you can go to your volunteer fire department, your ambulance, your rescue squads. You can go to invites homeschoolers. They'd be very interested in this. All kinds of liberty groups, Ron Paul groups. I don't know if any of them are still around, but you have a lot of different liberty groups that have been created, particularly over the past 10 years, and a lot of them are still existing, or they morphed into something else. And there are a lot of groups that have been around for 50 or more years, 30 years, whatever. That have been doing things. You got veterans clubs, you got guns clubs, you got different meetup groups, so lots of places. But it all starts with two or three people coming together and starting to organize and get your first meeting going. But we have a step-by-step process that we show the people in the Committee of Safety handbook, on what the first steps are, what to do at the first meeting, the second meeting, and the third meeting. When to make contact with the sheriff, all the different paperwork that you have to bring together in order to bring this process into play. When we approach the sheriff, we definitely want that sheriff to have already been primed, ready to receive the people. And at that, they will realize once you make contact with them that you are very important individuals for them to work with, because you will be the people that will be empowering them. You'll be the people that will be supporting them. And as this information grows, especially when people have problems within your towns and your county, and they figure out or find out, hey, I can go talk to the Committee of Safety. They can solve my problem. They can deal with this bureaucrat. They can deal with this judge. They can deal with this politician. And once they realize that, we'll get a lot of people coming into the Committee of Safety for help, and we'll strongly advise them and suggest to them, we'll help you, but we'll strongly advise and suggest to them that they join us to help other people who have problems. And that's how we'll grow. And I think we can grow very, very rapidly. Which brings us to one of the main points I really wanted to talk about, and that is that I have made a plan starting sometime this spring, or at worst case, very early summer. I'm going to start traveling my state. Gerard and I have been all throughout New York, been to many, many, almost all the counties. There were certain counties we maybe have meetings with two or three or four counties around, came together. in order to get people involved in the committee man process, and then eventually in the grand jury process, which brings us into National Liberty Alliance. So we've spent a lot of time organizing New York, and I'm going to head out. I don't know if Gerard's been injured, so he may not be able to go, but if he can, I'm sure he will. But I'm heading out, and I'm going to be visiting all the counties that I can. I plan on hitting every county in New York. There is an individual, Dave, who's up in the northwestern part of New York, and he's very active, and he was teaching a lot of the stuff that we're teaching. You know, he's been following along and working with us. So I talked with him, and he's going to be working the northern part of New York. I'm going to work the southern part of New York, and we'll kind of meet in the middle maybe. But we're going to hit every county. We're going to get committees of safety. By the end of the summer, we're going to get committees of safety in every single county of New York. And I'm looking for people who are interested in doing the same thing in their state. And I will put together some PowerPoints and some written information and maybe sort of a handbook or something. Matter of fact, I think I'll put a handbook together to share with those people who want to really work their states. If we can get one or more persons in every single state, and we've got membership in every state, but if we can get, you know, one or more persons in every single state to do what we're going to be doing here in New York, by come the fall, we can have the whole United States totally organized, and we can be active committeemen. We can act as the committeeman. We could do everything the committeeman does, because there's no difference at that point between us or them, except for the fact that we have justice in our mind, and we have upholding the Constitution in our mind, and we have the idea and thought that we want to bring people into office that are statesmen. Now, Trump is working the political fields, and we could be working right with him to support the people that he is supporting. We can interview them, and we can get them onto the ballot. They don't have to go begging to the Republican or the Democrat Party to put them on the ballot. We, the people, will put them on the ballot, and we can do it very quickly, very easily, once everybody understands the process after we're organized. Then the plan, of course, is that the next election would to run for the committee man to become the elected committee man. And at that point in time, the plan is to shut political parties down. I wrote a paper concerning our founding fathers and parties, and they wanted nothing to do with political parties. Every single one of them was on board with the idea that political parties were destructive, every one of them. Even Jefferson, who they claim formed the first political party, that is not true, not at all. And when he was elected president, 1798, I think it was. In any event, when he became president, his first speech and words to the people were that we are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Even though he was involved with the Anti-Federalists, the whole thing was the point of being Anti-Federalist was the point that the Federalists were giving too much power to the federal government. The Anti-Federalists were saying, no, that's too much power. They made some compromises, and the main compromise was made was the Bill of Rights. And the Constitution is to be read and understood in light of that Bill of Rights. So therefore, you know, anything that's repugnant to any of our unalienable rights, anything repugnant to the rights of the people, is null and void. And that's a pretty good protection. That is what has saved this nation for 200 and so many years. That is what has kept us on course. That is what has kept us believing and thinking we're still free, even though really we're not. You know, we're only free in our minds at this point. We're not free in body yet because, you know, get into a situation where you're in the courts and you're going to find out real quickly they're not going to acknowledge your rights. They're not going to acknowledge natural law. They are not going to acknowledge our Constitution. So only the people can save this republic. Donald Trump cannot save this republic. Only the people can do it. The military cannot save this republic. No man can save this republic. Again, they can clean house and bring us to a place where we'll have a window of opportunity to save this republic. Because if we don't take controls, well, someone's got to take them. Who's got the controls right now? Who decides who gets onto the ballots? The powers that be decide that. It goes right up onto a national level. Who decides any of these things? Who decides which law is applied? Who decide? Again, we get back to the judiciary. The federal judiciary is totally off the boat altogether. I mean, they again, there is no constitution in their courts. They only give the appearance of it. That's it. We've been in the courts long enough. We know exactly the game, and we're trying to teach the people. And going into a court, everyone should learn how to do that. And we need to teach our children. We have a plan to bring civics and our constitution, and including you know, understanding how the court system works and how they should be able to represent themselves in a court. How it works from beginning to end. How do you file papers? How do you make your argument? How do you make your collection? And if you're being charged with criminal charges, you know, again, what your rights are and so on and so forth. But there is a process. People need to know it. It's not difficult, and you don't need to be a lawyer because we don't get involved in codes and statutes and those kind of things per se. Natural law is really about common sense, ultimately. It's you know, built upon maxims, and maxims are truths that cannot be denied. Water cannot go uphill. That's an absolute truth. No one could deny that unless you put a pump on it. Water's not going uphill. And basically, that's what logic is. You know, we have lost our common sense. There is no common sense in the narratives that we hear coming from, you know, news medias. No common sense at all. Although, of course, there are now alternative news medias coming up, and they are giving us common sense. They are giving us the truth and what's going on, and we get to decide what we think about that. But generally speaking, the narrative of the within the United States is just total illogical, and they've turned logic upside down. People have become confused. Well, we need to unconfuse them by bringing them truth, you know. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That's the Declaration. That's the Declaration of Independence. That document is maxim after maxim after maxim after maxim. It's built upon maxims, upon truths that cannot be denied. All men are created equal. Who can argue with that? Of course, the people that bring forth a narrative of destruction, they'll make you know, they'll confuse you you know, deny that and say you can't prove that or whatever it is that they say. But the bottom line, the truth is the truth. The truth cannot be denied. It cannot be hidden. It always comes to the surface. So we have to get rid of all the confusion and all of the destruction that these people bring to us in our thinking, in our minds. You know, we need to be free. And that starts with thinking free, talking free, and acting free. And then that's when you're free. Heritage, our American heritage, brings us to natural law. That is the key to our American heritage. And we're not to be under the will of any legislative authority. They are not to make any law to control our behavior. We are in charge of our behavior. If natural law says for every injury there must be a remedy. So if you injure someone, then you're going to have to deal with that, and you're going to go to, you know, you're going to have to answer to that injury, to that person. Okay, and that's the law. We don't need laws to tell us anything. Everybody knows when an individual has been injured. It goes into the court. The jury will see, yeah, that person's been injured. And yeah, they've been injured by that person. Or they didn't. Or they wasn't injured by that person. And the whole thing is about restoring the person to their original state before the injury. So, all right. Anyway, we need to be building these things. We need involved. So I'm asking for anybody who wants to work their state, send me an email. Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And make sure you give us your name and your phone number, and we'll connect with you, and we'll start organizing a plan. I'm going to do a written plan on how to approach your state and how to bring forward the project that we're working on, building committees of safety. And again, we're going to create some tools. A lot of the tools are already created already anyway, but we'll create some tools. We'll put together some tools. You know, I think the best way, you know, is to introduce people to the committees of safety will be through a PowerPoint. And we'll offer it in two ways. We'll offer the PowerPoint where there'll be audio onto it. And I like doing it that way. I create PowerPoints and I put the audio onto the PowerPoint. And then I go in and I make an introduction, and I play the audio. I play the PowerPoint video. Usually it could be anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes, maybe an hour at most. And if you have a 2 to 3 hour meeting, you know, you got an hour of the introduction, and then you got an hour to take Q&A and finalize for the organizing of that particular county that you're talking in. Also, you know, we need to plan it strategically on how we would go and bring it to 2 or 3 counties at a time, finding the right location on where we can share it with numerous counties at one time. For instance, New York has 62 counties. There are lots of places in New York where we can come together and do 3, maybe 4 counties at the same time. There are a couple places where we could do even more than 4 counties because of the way the shapes of the counties and how they're, you know, connected to each other. Let's take New York City. When we used to go down to New York City to do presentations on whether it was the committee man or the building of the unified, you know, the grand jury systems as far as administrators for the grand jury or coming together with the unified United States common law grand jury and introducing that, we used to go down to Manhattan. And you know, everybody was kind of comfortable and worked with that, where you got all the boroughs down, all 5 boroughs, they'll all come to Manhattan for one meeting. You hit 5 counties at one time, 5 boroughs or 5 counties down in New York City, and we do it in Manhattan. And so you could find certain areas where you can do that, and in certain counties, maybe, I'm sure there's a few counties you may have to do them by themselves. They may be kind of large. You want to get them in the center, but, you know, you work it out. So anyway, we'll put together all the information on that. The other thing, of course, is we'll also offer the PowerPoints where, you know, people can just talk through the PowerPoints on their own. So some people might want to do it that way. I find it better to do it with the audio and the video because I know I have a tendency to, you know, go deeper and deeper, and before you know, I've gone through 2 hours and there's no time for questions and answers. So to really restrict myself and keep it short, I try to work with that 45-minute, you know, period of time to get the presentation done and then spend the rest of the time in conversation, questions, you know, Q&A. And actually getting people committing by the end of the day, you want to get people committed and going forward with creating their committees of safety. So if we can get 50 people, one person for every state, better than that, of course, more than one person for every state, but minimum one person per every state to start this process and work with us on this, we can unite the entire nation. And we've got almost 10,000 you know, 10,000 members already with National Liberty Alliance. So right there alone, the people within your state, you know, you've got a lot of people you can work with to try to get them fired up and get more involved and get down to the grassroots level with this Committee of Safety, along with all of the other liberty groups and different groups of people that you can invite to this thing. And so we'll give you lots of ideas and put a whole program together. You know, you want to throw something into the news or something, you know, local papers or something, for the announcement of your meeting, and there's lots of different things and meetup groups, and you know, if you work it, I trust me, it will be successful as far as your first meeting is concerned. If you do everything we suggest, and people will even do other things that we don't even think about yet, but you do these things, you're guaranteed to have success at every meeting. We found that out in New York, and we've learned a lot from going through New York and doing this, and so we've got a lot to share with ideas on this and the program itself. So Anybody interested in doing that and working to get their states, anybody interested in saving this nation, let's put it this way, anybody that wants to save the Republic, okay, let's get it done. Send me an email at mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Tell us that you want to be a state coordinator, and or not a coordinator, let's say a state organizer. Well, I guess it would be a coordinator, state coordinator. I think that's what we're calling them. Because we want county organizers. We have to find one person in every county to take up the point of organizing their county. And so, you know, those would be people organizing their county. We want to stimulate that growth and that organizing by having the meetings. So I guess we'll call them state coordinators. So anybody who wants to be a state coordinator to coordinate the organization of the counties within their state, send me that email. Let me know you're interested in becoming a state coordinator. Give us your first, you all we need is your first name, your phone number, and we will contact you within a few days after we get it, or as soon as we can. But we'll contact you this week if you send something in the next day or two. And then we'll start seeding the information, suggesting what are the first things you want to do to start prepping for your knowledge. That you'll need, you're going to want to. People are going to have a lot of questions, and I'll tell you, if you take these handbooks and you read through them and maybe even bring them with you to refer to them, okay, you will have the whole picture, the whole picture. And again, the presentation in itself will be set up in PowerPoint, so you know, you'll be able to glide right through that without a problem. But the Q&A... And you look at, if you don't have the answer, the best thing to tell the people is, you know, I don't have the answer to that one, but I can get back to you on it. And you get a hold of us, and we'll get to you. If you want to set up some meetings, maybe, well, look at the best way to do it is grassroots, the way we're talking it. So, again, send me an email. Let me know that you want to do that. All right, I guess that's it for the now on this. Jen, do we have any questions that come in on email?
Yeah, we have about three tonight, John. I went to the Constitution course and clicked on the Take the Course, and it took me to a page, read the directions and so on, and says you have to register to take the course. So I clicked on that one, and it said new enrollments are closed. So I couldn't get on to sign up to take the course. So it's not
okay. So that means it's closed. So tell
right.
Get a hold of Carl. Carl's listening in, I'm sure. He's running the radio right now. So, I'm sure he's listening in, unless he misses us at this moment. But connect with him. Ask him to reopen it.
Okay.
Some people have been asking, so we're going to do it. I know Ron, who's been really working the welcoming committee and organizing an educational process step-by-step going through our website. He felt pretty strong that we should open that back up. So we'll open it back up. Maybe we'll have time to get in there. Well, look, it is what it is. It's a nice primer. It's a quickie course, but it's a nice primer. It'll give us some basic, you know, relationship with the Constitution. And trust me, when you get into the other course, which is government by consent, you're going to get real deep into the Constitution. The whole book is focusing in ultimately on the law of the land anyway, so you've got 1,000 pages that are really focusing in on the topic ultimately anyway. All right, so what questions do we have, Jim?
Okay, well, I was also...
Do we have any announcements, by the way, too?
Well, yeah, one, I was glad to hear that you addressed the book issue. I've been getting a fair number of questions from people wanting to know, did we lose their order and so on,
Right.
And has the book been sent out and so on. So that was timely. That was great. I'll cover that tonight.
Okay.
Other than that, I just have three maybe fairly short questions for you, John.
Okay.
This first fellow contacted us. He wants to commence indictment proceedings by a common law grand jury to bring criminal charges against Governor Ducey and so forth. And I don't know which state Ducey is from. He attached a complaint for deprivation of rights along with notice of the existence of the First Amendment administrative commercial lien process in the U.S., an affidavit of information in support of a criminal complaint, a claim of lien, which isn't recorded yet, and all other documents. And he filed in the U.S. District Court, and he has a case number. Now, he sent 10 documents, so I'm sure you haven't had a chance to read through it. He says, I am currently waiting.
And I don't at the moment because, right. You know, one of the things, look, we'd love to help people. We've organized the nation, for those who are new and don't know about it, we've organized the entire nation, every state of this union. We have created or worked with the people to create a unified common law grand jury within each state here. Then those unified common law grand juries came together to form the one United States common law grand jury. And we've been doing we've been very busy with that. Anybody that wants to get into the details, you can highlight our tab grand jury, as you can see I'm doing right now. Anybody that's taken a view with their browser, highlight grand jury, and you can come down action against the judiciary. That is the big lawsuit that we've been pursuing. But it's more than against the judiciary. This is an extraordinary action against not only the United States Supreme Court, and as it says on the front page here, also against the federal judiciary, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the United States Senate. And so we have filed tremendous amounts of papers. We've started off early on with really going after or addressing, I think the Supreme Court is when we really started the addressing. Just taking a look, we've done writs of mandamuses. We've done back in April 6, 2020, I thought we did this earlier than that, a writ quo wanto. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's an IRS writ quo wanto. We did do a writ quo wanto, I think it was back in 2016. It's on this page. Oh, right here, right on the top. We filed on 2015 a writ quo wanto, okay, and that was filed upon the entire government here of the United States. We filed it with all county sheriffs, the federal special agents in charge, or 94 of them, all U.S. Marshals, Joint Chiefs of Staff, state militia, governors of all 50 states, all federal and state courts, assemblymen in all 50 states, senators in all 50 states, U.S. Congress, U.S. senators, and also the news media. And we laid out a writ quo wanto. And a writ quo wanto brought up against a corporation ultimately ends up with a cease and desist order done. Why? Because they violated their agreement with the people. So that's where we started. And that was filed 2015. It's 15 pages. I think it's a real good read. And you know, anybody reading these pages, you're going to get an education here. Okay. Originally filed on November 10th, 2014, and refiled on May 13, 2015. And then from there, we had filed lots of papers, lots of information, communicating with all these different government agents or agencies that I read off a minute ago. Then we filed an extraordinary action. Goodness, I think that was... Let's see when exactly that extraordinary action was actually filed, the first date. I guess it was 2019 when we really started to focus in on that, and particularly going up against the United States Supreme Court, because they have, but you know, the legislators, U.S. Legislators, they were partners in this whole crime back in 1934, and then the United States Supreme Court committed treason in its highest state. They committed treason in 1938. And any judge who is notified of that treason and continues to participate in that process is guilty of treason. And so if anybody's got any questions on that, we can discuss that in Q&A. But... Again, we've been very, very busy in the courts. To go after a governor, the best thing to do with a governor, let's organize committees of safety. Let's start with a recall. We'll get them indicted at a later time. But right now, we got to focus in on taking back the judiciary and taking back the political process. And that's by creating committees of safety and then organizing within our counties to take control of the courts, through jury administrators. We need four jury administrators and one legal secretary, paralegal secretary, or legal secretary. I guess that'd be about the same anyway. And even that paralegal secretary, even that individual would be part of the jury administrator, because they'd fill in when one's on vacation or someone's ill or they need extra help or whatever the case may be. But we need five people in every county. The committee, it's the responsibility of the committees of safety. And, of course, we advertise that through our membership of almost 10,000 members. Anybody in any of their counties that wants to take on that job, it's a full-time paid position, by the way, a professional position. We will train people everything they need to know in order to go through that process. So they can take on those jobs. But it's up to the committees of safety to make sure those positions are filled. It's up to the committees of safety to get enough people to run for committeemen to fill all the election districts within their county. And it's up to the committee of safety to organize and get everyone involved with the militia. And it's up to the committees of safety to encourage and work with the committeemen to push forward the Republic Review, which is a reconsideration and a look at all of past legislation and agencies that have been created, and get rid of all unconstitutional garbage that a lot of these, traitorous legislators have put into our law, which would be equity, by the way, because they cannot write law to control the people's behavior. Remember that. That is real liberty. You don't really have liberty. You cannot really feel and express true freedom unless you are totally free from any government involvement in your life in any way. They can't come out after you for breaking a code, because they can't write a code against your behavior. If you broke the law, you injured someone. If you injured someone, then you go to court. And that could be criminal, or it may be just a civil case, but whatever the case may be, you have to injure an individual. And look, at the whole process is really to restore the injured party, by the way, not to put someone in jail. Really only violent things, people who commit some kind of a violent act, may require jail. But even that has to be changed. There's so many things that have to be changed in our nation. And the committees of safety could do that. And when the committees of safety are fully informed people and working together with their counties next door and the counties in the next state, ultimately all together, all 3,100-plus counties working together to deal with certain problems. We all have certain problems in different, we all have our special problems in our counties that we have to deal with. But we all have certain problems that we all have to deal with. Look, Agenda 21. We're all dealing with that problem. Every single state, every single county has to deal with that problem. We can deal with it collectively across the nation, together, in one accord. And when the people come together like that, that's when you will have government that fears the people. And you will never have true liberty until you have a government that fears the people. They fear the fact that the people are going to take them out and bring them and indict them and put them in jail or whatever has to be done if they break the law and violate their oath and work to destroy the Constitution. What people don't realize right now, any senator, let's just say on the federal level, because we can all appreciate on that level, every state is a little different here or there, but let's just think on the federal level. Any senator or any congressman or anybody that elected office takes their position that they were elected to as a platform to springboard the destruction of our Second Amendment, to our First Amendment, or to alter our Constitution, and to rally people, get up in their soapbox, to rally people against our law of the land, is guilty of treason and needs to be arrested and tried. And just think of everything they're doing up there. Whenever you listen to these people talk, it's always about destruction of our rights, destruction of our process. Oh, this ain't working too well. We got to do this or do that. And they try to move people to destroy these things. Well, that's against the law. That's clearly laid out even in U.S. codes. And there is certain requirement of jail time that they request for that kind of a breaking that kind of a law. And of course, the people coming as the jury, they need to be fully informed, and we intend on doing it. That's why we wrote the book. For matter of fact, we probably should change that to the fully informed jurist. But right now, it's the jurist handbook. I think we're going to change it to the fully informed jurist or something like that. But that book right there empowers anybody. Maybe that's a good book to start off with, because that's going to empower you. And I don't think it's that long a book, if I recall. Let me see, well, all these books, they go at least 30, 40 pages or more. But let's just take a quick look at the... I know I'm kind of long on this, and I'm a little off base, but let's see. Jury jurist handbook. This is 30 pages. I want to tell you, anybody who reads through this booklet, I promise you, you will then be a fully informed jurist. You will understand the power and the authority that the people have. Okay. And you have not only the power and the authority to decide the facts, you get to decide the law. You get to decide whether you're going to apply that law or not. And I'm talking about statutes and codes that may be applied against an individual that was working for a government agency or working in the commercial business that was interstate, that's controlled by the federal government. We gave them the power and the authority to write codes and regulations and law concerning those operations. So if anybody committed a criminal act working for some agency, then they could be tried, and it would start off in equity, but if it turns to become if it becomes a criminal act, then it has to be moved into a court of law. But a court of law, still, because that person was operating with certain powers and authority, they were operating under equity, and so therefore the equity laws will apply against them. But the people have the power to nullify some of those things. Let's say they say this person should go to jail for 10 years for committing treason. Maybe the people might decide, well, we think they should go for 20. Or maybe they should decide that they shouldn't go at all, maybe a year. You know, it's up to the people to make the decision. So it's a good guideline maybe that the government has given us on that, but we don't have to apply exactly what they say. If they have a regulation that these people violated during a criminal act or something, or some other kind of statute that they violate, and we don't think that statute was appropriate or it doesn't fit this case, or we just don't like it, we nullify it. We, the people, make the law. We need to realize that, because until we realize that, we cannot have liberty. You are not living, at least in your mind, in liberty if you don't understand that point. We, the people, are the lawmakers of all law, save, except, of course, natural law, which is made by God. That's His law. But as far as anything concerning our government, we are the lawmakers. We make the law. We decide whether we like it. Maybe we say the law is good, but in this case it doesn't apply. Or maybe we just make up our own things because this has to be that, or whatever the case may be, it's up to us. When we see a wrongdoing, we have to fix the wrongdoing. We can call it whatever we want to call it. But the people need to come. Until people realize that, we will not be free. That is the great experiment. That's the great American experiment. That is our heritage. That is what common law is all about, the people ruling the people. And inside that court of law, there can be no elected or appointed individual. Well, not I shouldn't say elected that. Let me say, there can be no judge, okay? There is no judge in a court of law. There's a tribunal, and the tribunal is the 12 jurists. It's the people. It's the people's court. And if there's a judge in that courtroom, then they're wearing a magistrate's hat, because all judges are magistrates. They can sign off and certify anything as well as a magistrate can. So all judges are magistrates. If a judge is sitting in a court of law, then he's acting as a magistrate. He cannot make no decisions. He can't press the law to be upheld by anyone. It's all up to the jury to deal with that. And it's up to the prosecutor to prosecute the case, and it's up to the people to defend themselves, and of course, if they have a lawyer, then the lawyer will defend them. personally, whenever I go into court, and if ever I go into court for anything in the future, I will always represent myself, because nobody, they'll tell you that only a fool represents themselves. I think only a fool gets a lawyer to represent them, because who knows your case better than you? You know, the only case you might be wise to get a lawyer is if you're guilty of a crime and you're trying to beat it. That's about it. Okay, but if you're not guilty of anything, and maybe it's a civil case or even a criminal case, if you're not guilty of anything, then I think only a fool wouldn't represent themselves. But again, you know, how do you do that? And we have to become educated in this area. And again, you're not required to go to college for 4 years or anything on this. You can learn this on your spare time. And some people can learn a lot quicker than others. And the more knowledge we have of what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, and the more knowledge you'll have and ability to be able to, learn very quickly the processes of law, because you'll understand common law just by reading these books. These books are all about common law, you know. But anyway, I know I went way off base on that, but what do we got next?
Okay. A few weeks ago, on the Monday night call, Gerard mentioned to a caller a resource that focused on traffic violations, and he really spoke highly of it, stating that the information had a 94% or so success rate of prevailing in court if the information was followed correctly by the defendants. I believe it was called Lewis Law. If possible, could he or anyone at NLA please specify or list the website or contact information in regards to it?
Yeah, Gerard, can you answer that question? Yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I don't have the details on that. And it is a good place to start to learn how the court works, at least to some degree. Remember, you're in a lower court, usually a town court or a village court. So, but it is good practice. Gerard, can you respond to that?
I don't have the website. I had it, and for some reason I lost it, so I have to go back and find it. I just didn't get a chance to do that yet. But I will, and I'll post it up there, and you can remind me.
Right, next week maybe you'll have it?
Next week I can have it, yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to save that question again for next week, Jan.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right, what else you got? Any other questions?
Yep, I have another one. I filed a case against Earl. My case was dismissed on January 14th.
I missed that. You filed a case what?
Against a borough employee.
Okay. All right.
And the borough.
Yeah, it's a county.
Not a donkey. Okay.
Yeah.
My case was dismissed on January 14th for failure to state a claim, but I was permitted to refile again. The municipal attorney again filed a motion to dismiss, which I am going to have the hearing on April 5th. Actually, I filed the opposition and again a new amended complaint. I think when my case was dismissed, the judge kind of admitted that a municipal employee did act under the color of law. Please verify that. Secondly, how can I prove that they acted under custom and policies?
Well, look, it's really, you got to look at it from a different perspective. You have a right of due process in a court of law. Due process requires a court of law. So your first order of business is, what court are you in? What's the jurisdiction? They cannot and will not answer that question. They never will. I have federal judges who just refuse to answer that question. We just had some cases recently, and the judge just refused. I said, well, you know, how can we proceed if we don't know the jurisdiction? Let's see the authority. They will not answer that. They cannot answer it because you're in jurisdictions unknown. I have yet to find a court of law in the United States. Let me repeat that. I have yet to, and we've been at this for 12 years now, I guess. I don't know. Quite some time. And hundreds and hundreds of cases. Quite a few personal cases. Not only my own personal cases, but other cases. We tried to help people to be represented in a court. And we've yet to find a court of law. They don't exist. They abrogated it back in 1938. So that's the problem. Now, they hide that, and they know something's wrong. Remember, you're dealing with bar attorneys. Judges are bar attorneys. They are hand-picked bar attorneys that become judges. You don't become a judge unless the bar approves you, period, end of subject. You don't get to practice law in most states unless the bar approves you. There are some states that you can bypass that, but if you're in a place where, in a state where you have to be approved by the bar, you're not going to be able, if you went to a school that's a non-bar school, and then you go to get, you try to get the permission to go into the courts, they usually don't refuse you. It's very rarely that they'll let you do. They do approve certain people. But generally speaking, it's an uphill battle to do that. So there is no court of law. This is controlled by the bar attorneys. The purpose of the bar attorney ultimately is to destroy America. The Treaty of Verona, going back in the, in 1822, where the King and the Pope made a treaty, came together, and they issued letters of marque and reprisal to the members of the bar to covertly undermine our political and economic system. And that political system, of course, concerns our judicial system. They sent swarms of bar attorneys. Our founding fathers hated the bar attorneys. Our founding fathers, a lot of them were all lawyers. They studied law, but they were not bar attorneys. Okay, and they were more into the common law than, but of course there was equity, and nevertheless, that treaty continues to this day. We're being assaulted. The letters of marque and reprisal, that was picked up by the American Bar Association, which eventually, you know, came to be here in the United States back in 1878. 75 lawyers established the ABA, American Bar Association, and they picked it up for, you know, what the exactly what the British bar was doing. And the whole process is to destroy our law. They've worked, endlessly to abrogate the law of the land, to abrogate habeas corpus, to abrogate unalienable rights, to control our courts and enforce their own laws. They control our economy. They changed our republic into a democracy. It goes on and on and on. There's nothing that's worth anything here in the United States that's not controlled by lawyers. And if you notice, especially in the past 15 to 20 years, we see, for instance, a lot of these medical places. You go to see a doctor. You know, you don't get the family doctor down the street anymore. They don't even exist. They all are in office buildings, and they all refer back to and are controlled by, the corporate lawyers, and everything is controlled by lawyers. Our entire government and our institutions, everything is controlled by lawyers, bar lawyers, and their whole purpose is to destroy our way of life. And a lot of them don't realize this. They're minions. They're useful idiots, and the minions of the New World Order is who they are. And they don't even know it. They will argue, fight, tooth and nail to say we're under civil law, we're under Roman law, and common law hasn't been abrogated. They actually say those words, and they do not understand what they're saying. How could that be? That they don't, because they kept ignorant. They didn't learn anything in school. They went into they eventually went into law school. They're taught all of this destructive information. They've spent a lot of money for that. Of course we know more than you, they claim. Of course they understand the law. You don't know what you're talking about. We know how things work. And they've never had a relationship with the meaning of common law. They haven't had a relationship with our Constitution. My brother went to law school, and he never practiced law, and he did something else, but he did go to law school, and he told me they never learned anything about the Constitution. They'd bring it up, but nothing. Okay? We were taught, Gerard and I were taught by a lawyer on how things work in the process and everything. And one of the things he taught, was that, don't bring the Constitution into the court. There's plenty of statutes. Bring in the statutes. You don't need to get involved with that. It's too controversial. Bring in the statutes. Bring in the codes. They've destroyed us everywhere. Now, the good news is the people become informed and educated, and let's say we can get together and organize the entire nation by the end of the year. Get committees of safety in almost every county, let's say, and the people are being educated and come to a knowledge of these things, we can take it all back almost immediately at that point. All back very quickly. Okay? We need critical mass, and I think we're going to be getting that soon. I'm seeing things happening, and even within our own organization here at NLA, the way we're starting to, bring ourselves and form ourselves together internally, and structuring ourselves for that success, and the training we're doing and the people getting involved. If we can organize, again, the counties by the end of the year, we will be extremely successful. We can overturn everything in a heartbeat, and because the people will finally be in control, and we will have government that fears the people. And until we have government by fears the people, like I said before, we're not going to have liberty. We're not going to have justice in our courts. We're not going to have a government that reflects the will of the people. And that not only what goes on internally, but also how we deal with other nations. And if America is successful in taking out the deep state here in the United States and taking control of our nation, of our republic, then the deep state will fall across the world. They will fail everywhere because it all really structures out of the United States here. This has been the problem they've had with the United States, but they use the United States in order to destroy a lot of countries, especially in the Middle East, and they're building their democracies all over the world. There's 200 and some odd democracies, I think it was, that we have created, America has created, or pressed forward to create. And the purpose of a democracy is only the first form, an oligarchy. There's always someone behind the scene actually controlling things, like has been here in the United States. We haven't had a free president in quite some time. Until Trump, we haven't had a president that was able to be free from these people. We've been under the control of an oligarchy. So we need to take it back. But anyway, the question, I know I've been talking long about this and it goes into different subjects, but this was, we were talking about going after the governor. Was that this question? Jen? This last question you asked, was that on the governor? Huh?
That was the question.
Yeah, so we can't go after a governor right now. I would say be patient, work with us, keep getting evidence together. And when we get to the other side, and the other side means when Donald Trump brings success in a way that we see and understand probably through the military, and the deep state is gone, that's when we have to be ready to go forward quickly and hard. We need to be organized by then. And that time is coming close. So it's time to organizing. We have this year to prepare and get ourselves together and organize ourselves. And in the next year, we will come down on them like a ton of bricks. I promise we can do that if we organize. Next question. Is there any more?
You're no, Don, that was the last of the questions for tonight.
Okay. Is Brent here?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Is he come in can he unmute himself or do you have to unmute him?
I think we have to unmute him.
Okay.
I'm looking now.
All right, Brent, if you can unmute yourself, unmute yourself. If not, we're looking for you. Gerard, are you ready
now,
to take the board?
Now I'm unmuted, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Gerard, are you ready to take the board?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me introduce Brent. Brent is Brent Allen Winters. He's a common lawyer. His website is commonlawyer.com. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law and many other books. He's also the author of The Militia of the Several States that we have on our website. And he's going to speak to us for a while, and then we'll go into a Q&A after that. Gerard, you got the board. And Brent, you got the mic.
Thank you very much. There's a couple of things I want to mention. This is Brent. First of all, this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. If you go to that website, you can find there readily on the front page. I think you click on a button, it'll take you to how to participate, how to sign up for a class on the common trusts, the trust at common law. Of course, if we do that, we'll cover a lot of other stuff too, 15 weeks long, once a week, and we picked Saturday afternoons, 7 o'clock East Coast time, which would be, let's see, that'd be 4 o'clock West Coast time. And the platform will probably be freeconferencecall.com, but it's all there. If we, you get signed up, you can participate, and we encourage you to do that. The only remedy to lawlessness, the only remedy to lawlessness is true law. And we're there, friends, neighbors, and kin. We're over the edge. I remember back in the 50s, that's as far as I go. I don't go to the 40s. Some of you, Ollie, he goes back in the 40s. I go back to the 50s, and I remember things were very much different then, and the attitude was very much different. We had respect for things that have no respect now. How did we get in the shape we're in? I think I mentioned a week or two ago, I remember when things really did change. Looking back, I can evaluate it and see. I can tell when they changed. I remember very well when John Kennedy, we say he was shot because people say they don't know who shot him. I remember that very well. And I remember just not long after that, the Beatles. And I can say that right during that time, things changed very much in America. Looking back, I can see it. We started down a different path. I don't know what all the forces were that came together to make that happen, but the evil one himself orchestrates useful idiots. And there are a lot of them in the world. It's important that we try not to be a part of that group, but to varying degrees, we all have been. We all have been. Because we let things happen and we don't stand fast. We're slowly boiled like the frog. That's what's happened to us, no question, but the Bible has a lot to say about how that happens to a nation and what will happen when a nation goes the wrong way. And it breaks it down in the most detailed kinds of steps. It's all there. All you got to do is read it and think about what happens. One particular place where that happens, not to mention Romans 1. Romans 1, Paul the Apostle in that epistle to the Christians at Rome, he says, I'm writing to the Christians at Rome, the city of Rome. Well, Rome was a terrible place, of course. There were so many hookers in Rome back in those days and even up through the centuries after that. And, of course, there were so many you couldn't count them. 10,000, some people said. It was justified, even those that were some of the great leaders and writers in church history justified the hookers in Rome. Augustine justified them. He was very much a biblicist in other ways, but he didn't know everything. None of us do, and we often, all of us, are wrong-headed someplace. And if we knew where it was, we'd do something about it. It's our duty to constantly press to right-headedness. That means you got your nose pointed in the right direction, your nose. Doesn't mean you do everything right. It means you're on the right road. That's what that means. You're headed the right direction. I knew a fella, well, I still know him, back in Terre Haute. He was in the Army a while, and he was over in Europe, and he was on the Army's wrestling team. They'd send him around to the different countries in Europe, and he'd compete as a wrestler in his class. He wasn't a big man, but he's one of those scrappy fellows. Still is, by the way. He's grown and older now. He's still scrappy. But I can imagine what he was like when he was 18, 19, 20, 21. But he told me this. He said, Brent, I'll tell you a secret. He said, some people know it, but not everybody knows it, but I learned it wrestling. And I've applied it all my life, and I'm still applying it in business. He has a business cleaning the flues in restaurants. He cleans them. Big business. They got to be cleaned ever so often, you know, according to the law. He's in other things too now, janitorial services and stuff. But he said, rent as a wrestler. If you can get the other fella that you're wrestling with, if you can get his nose pointed in the direction you want his body to go, his body will follow. All you got to do is think about his nose. And he said, when I was wrestling, I was constantly, dumb as it sounds, I was thinking about the other fellow's nose. And he said, I had great success doing that. Oh, I know it's true. You know, you can put a bit, a little tiny bit, in a big old 2,200-pound draft horse's mouth, and you can make that big, powerful animal go the direction you want him to go, and you can, I'm just using the analogies the Bible uses, you can take a little tiny rudder. You ever see a rudder on one of those big super tankers? You ever see a rudder on an aircraft carrier? Compared to the size of the machine, the ship is very small, but it guides, it makes the ship go, that big ship go where the rudder wants it to go. Whoever controls that little rudder controls that great big 60 to 100 ton displacement vessel. Well, the object is, of course, to get your nose going in the right direction. Our country is going in the wrong direction, running headlong toward a cliff. There's no question about that. None. Well, when that happens, as it does to a nation like ours, the consequences are going to be real bad. Now, here's what we're supposed to do. You are not supposed to be running toward that cliff with the rest of the idiots. Yeah, they're running, and they want to make sure no one can say, don't run with the rest of the country. But I'm telling you, don't run with the rest of the country. Remember, patriotism is not loving the people in government. It's not loyalty to the people in government. What is it? Well, the word patriot has to do with land. It's loyalty to the land. The land the Lord your God has given you. That's the way we used to look at it. When the fat lady used to sing the song, she sang, God bless America, land that I love. Do you hear that kind of a sentiment in these so-called patriotic songs that are so very popular now? You don't hear it. There's some, oh, I like the song, I like the tunes, but I'm depressed listening to patriotic songs, the popular ones, that don't mention our land. They mention a feeling you get, a love of the flag, all of that kind of stuff. That's not it, friends, neighbors, and kin. And if that's your point of view, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her, guide her through the night with the light from above. And then the song talks about the land again, over the mountains and the prairies and the oceans. That's the edges of the land, white with foam. God bless America, the land, my home sweet home. That's the sentiment that God wants us to have, and only he can give us that sentiment. It's important. That's not a passing point. That is fundamentally important to patriotism. And because we've left that particular point of view, God is displeased with us. How do you know, Brent? Did he tell you this morning? No, he didn't. He didn't tell me this morning. I've been reading it in the record of what he said for a long time. Now, it has been said, if I'm still being heard, somebody signify, because there was a lot of odd noises. Am I still being heard? Yes, okay. It's been said, thank you. It's been said that America, well, I'll tell you who said it. It wasn't just anybody, I don't suppose. It was a very accomplished historian who wrote thousands and thousands of pages of history, because he read history nonstop his whole life, and that was Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill said that the people that founded America, I'm quoting him, were the most biblical race of men that ever lived. The most biblical race of men that ever lived. And somebody said, well, what about ancient Israel? Ancient Israel is arguably among the most unbiblical races of men that ever lived. You don't believe it? Go read the first 69% of the Bible called the Old Testament. It's a record of their hatred of their Maker, their hatred of God, their hatred of His Word. They weren't biblical at all. No, then when they were taken away to Babylon, it got worse. That's where Babylonian Judaism began, which, of course, Jesus Christ railed against with no uncertain curses. Well, what happened to this nation that God said He chose to be His own, that the Maker of heaven and earth said, I have given you My oracles, My written word, My law, the revelation of My will. I gave it to you. I picked you up. These are the analogies he uses. I picked you up as a worn-out hooker. You don't believe it? Go read the book of Hosea. That's the analogy he uses. I picked you up as a dirty, low-down, wore-out hooker. And I married you. And I cleaned you up. And I got you healthy. And then you turned on me again and went back to your lovers. That's what he says. Yeah, go read the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea. Short book. Fascinating in the extreme. Now, this is a nation that had everything. You go to Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to compare that nation who had the nation that God gave all of His oracles, all of the revelation of His will, gave them a land, set them up, drove out their ugly, dirty, low, demon-worshipping enemies, gave them everything. Well, Isaiah, the prophet, comes back and says, I'm going to give you an analogy of who you are, Israel. He said, think about a man. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 5, reading and paraphrasing from the Winterized version here. He grubs over a piece of land. He finds a piece of land, he grubs over it. That means he digs around in it and he chucks out all its stones. Again, I'm reading from the Winterized version, not some well-known version. He chucks out all its stones. He plants it of a choice vine. He builds a tower in the middle of this vineyard he wants to plant, or he did plant. He hewed out a lower wine press vat, and he awaits the making of grapes. And then the grapes come on, but they aren't grapes at all. They're stenches of wild grapes. They stink. And at this time, he says, of the nation Israel, Jerusalem dwellers, and each man of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done? I did everything. I built a wall, or I dug it up. I threw out the rocks. I planted choice grape vines. I built a tower in the middle so I could have a watchman up there to keep out vagrants and beasts that would eat it. Why would I knowingly await the making of grapes, and it makes stenches, stinking wild grapes? And at this time, we know firsthand, please, namely, what is being done to my vineyard. So I go out and I overturn the hedgerow that had grown up around it for a fence, and I burn it, and I break down its wall, and it becomes a trampled place. I put it to a waste. I neither prune nor dress it. He's speaking of the nation, see, that he chose. If it doesn't bring forth good fruit, I burn it. Briars and thorns come up, and I command the clouds of rain to go away from it. Because He happens, that's the name of God, He happens, the happening one, of armed forces. The vineyard is Israel's house, He's saying. That is analogized to Israel's house. And each man of Judah is delightful in planting, and he awaits for a course of fair play. That's due process. And wow, what does he get instead of due process? He gets an outpouring for right-headedness. An outpouring. Get rid of right-headedness. Men that have their nose pointed in the right direction. Surefire doom to them that are joining house upon house and open field upon open field. Like the farmer at home that said, I'm not greedy, I just want the land that joins mine. Yeah. That's what he's talking about here. And in my ears says he happens, ever alive, of armed forces. If not many houses, they befall to an eerie waste. He said 10 hides in a vineyard, that's a measurement of land, make one bath. One bath, that's a measurement of wine. Surefire doom of them rising up early at dawn. They chase booze. He's talking about the Israelites. They chase booze. They tarry into the evening until wine hotly chases them. And the harp and the fiddle and the tambourine and the pipe and the wine are in their meals. They're living it up. They regard not the work of God, neither consider the operation of his hands. Well, what does he do? Well, he goes on. He says, I take them out of the land. I take them out of the land. If a people has, remember, Winston Churchill said that the people that founded America were the most biblical race of men that ever lived, namely the English Puritans. So you read what they said and what they did, it's astounding. The Bible was always on their tongue and always in their minds, of course. They lived by it very strongly. It was their final rule of life and practice. And when they deviated from it, they suffered greatly. Now, we've been a biblical nation, more biblical. We've been more biblical as a nation than any nation on the faces of God's green earth, more than ancient Israel. Well, how do you know? Well, I just read history. I read the Bible. I can see what happened, and I know that America has always had problems, always had evil, it's always been a fight, but the Bible has always been front and center. No, not some Roman ritual, not some Babylonish priesthood, no, just the Bible has been front and center. I know people misinterpret it, misunderstand it, do crazy things, view people I agree with about the Bible on everything, sometimes not much at all. But still, the Bible is front and center, above all books, above all things. That's what America is. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let them persuade you that there's been any other religious point of view except the one that adheres to the Bible. There has never been one that has been any good in America. Tom Jefferson said the priesthood, wherever it goes, a priesthood, any priesthood, has been the detriment. It's been rags. The rags of priesthood, he calls it, has destroyed people all over the earth. The evils of Babylonish religion, and all religion is Babylonish except one, and that's the biblical religion. We should pursue it. It is the law. What is law? The revealed will of the lawgiver. Law is the revealed will of the sovereign. Who is the sovereign? There's only one true sovereign, and there's only one true lawgiver, says James. And his will is paramount. We have reached madness, where those that hold the levers of power say there are 100 sexual orientations. Well, I guess if you added all the animals in and you like different kind of animals, you could say there are 100. I don't know what people are thinking. But those that are like banshees and witches and goblins dancing behind the razor wire in Washington, D.C. They believe that. They want to believe it. They don't want to feel the guilt of having trespassed God's law. Therefore, they say there is no law. It is not, friends, a different law. It is lawlessness. And that's what's destroying us. Will God tolerate it? Will the true lawgiver, the maker of all things, tolerate it? He says no. He won't tolerate it. There comes a limit. The cup is full. So again, what's our job? Our job, every man, every woman must be a lawyer. Every woman, every man must be a lawyer. What does that mean? That means they understand, each of them, the fundamentals. The fundamentals of the laws of nature, unwritten, our common law, and the laws of nature's God, written, lex scripta, in the Bible. That's what that means. Do you know it? Are you pursuing it? Listen, let me give you the words of Jesus Christ. He said this, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, friends, neighbors, and kin, that's not a possibility. No, he's speaking in the indicative. The indicative, that means this is true from the viewpoint of the speaker. When the Greeks spoke the Greek tongue, they spoke in the indicative if it was true from the viewpoint of the speaker. Jesus Christ is the speaker. His words are recorded. He is God Almighty in human flesh, the only and true God. There is none like him, no other. You have seen me, you have seen the Father, he said. Now, so we got God speaking here, and he's speaking in the indicative, the future indicative, but it's the indicative. And he says, seek, and you shall find. You shall find. It's an inevitable result of your seeking. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You want to seek? You want to know the will of the true lawgiver? That's law. You want to know it? That's what he's saying. If that's what you want to know, he's talking about that. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. But there's even more. That is not just the indicative. That is the present active indicative in the Greek tongue. What does that mean? That means that it signifies continuous nonstop action. Continuous nonstop action. So what is it saying? It's saying, keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. You keep on seeking the true law, the laws of nature that God has written in the relationships of the universe, our common law, our findings, our observations of how things ought to be done. You persistently seek that, you will find it. That's a promise from the Savior himself. You keep on knocking because you want to know. You want to know what's behind that door, figuratively speaking. It will be opened unto you. Those are the words of our Savior. And he's speaking about the will of the sovereign, which is law, the true law, written as our common law, unwritten, or unwritten as our common law, written in the Bible. It is persistence. There is much offered here. National Liberty Alliance, and they're not the only ones, but they're the one I know about because I know the guys a little bit now over the years. They've gotten to know me a little too. Their chief function, their chief ambition is education. I figured that much out. And they want to present to you courses. You say, well, I don't agree with everything they say. Well, I don't either. But they don't agree with everything I say, I'm sure. That's the nature of manhood. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right about it. Every man must decide for himself, but let's start talking about it. Take advantage of whatever resources they provide. Make your own decision. But the resources are there. And because the resources are there, if you don't take advantage of them, God will charge you with what you don't know, because you had the opportunity. You say, well, I don't have time. Well, God will take that into consideration. None of us have all the time we want. But here's the key point about persistence. Persistence is not taking 3 hours a day and doing something. No, persistence is taking 10 minutes a day. But it has to be every day. That's how you make progress. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You'll have some days you'll want to sit down and do one of the core pieces of coursework or whatever you decide to do. You'll take 15 minutes and it will turn into 30 because you'll be enjoying yourself or you'll have your head in it and it just feels good. But at the minimum, always take 10, 15, 20, whatever you carve out. Don't make it so much it becomes onerous and you can't do it. Listen, I read back in my day, when I was a young feller, everybody I knew and where I was, they were reading about Arnie Schwarzenegger. Because Arnie was world champion bodybuilder back then. Books about Arnie were laying everywhere. I was with guys. And so there were a lot of books about Arnie, and that he had a close friend named Columbo. I believe he was also a professional bodybuilder. And I picked up one of Arnie's books one time and was reading in it. And Arnie was describing how he was able to do what he was able to do. And key to it, I remember this, key to what he did, being good at the top of his game, was not that he did a lot every day, but that he never missed a day of doing something. And I remember the specific example. When he was in world-class competition, he was on the road a lot. He said, there's some days I could not get to a gym. I'd be in a motel somewhere or a hotel. But even when I was there, I would go out in the stairwell at the end of the hall at the hotel, and I would get on the stairs, and I would do toe raises. If that was all I could do, that's what I would do. But I never missed a day, ever. And probably still doesn't. I don't know if he's able to do that now. But, you know, there's a lesson in that. I don't care what it is you're ambitious to do. As the old saying goes, 10 minutes a day for 10 years. And you become the expert on the subject. 15 minutes a day for 15 years. 30 minutes a day for 30 years, shucks, there wouldn't be anybody you could find that would know more about that subject than you. If you stick to one subject and you pursue it daily, dailiness is what it's all about. You'll be the one that, see, if you do it daily, you're continually keeping on seeking and keeping on knocking. And you will find, and the door will be opened unto you, and you will be loyal to the land that way. To learn the law of the land is to be loyal to the land, and it will reap benefits for you, peace of mind, satisfaction, just knowing you're doing the right thing. Because as Christian men and women, there's no higher calling, no higher calling than to do what Deuteronomy says, to learn, to safeguard, and to do the will of God, which is His law. This is Brent, Alan Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. Go to the website, sign up for the trust course. Go to the NLA website also. See what trips your trigger, turns your t-shirt, floats your boat. Something there, get to you. Try it. There is no higher calling than to learn true law. Back to you, Gerard.
Thank you, Brent. I want to say something. Got my juices flowing with your talk there. You usually do. I had an experience today, and I wanted to share it with you, with everybody. Uh-huh. I had to go pay a bill at the municipality. Of course, I walked in, and I try not to wear a mask wherever I go, and I get all the bad stares, you know, so... You know, I'm in the town there, and of course they're very strict. You know, they this is a government thing. You know, we have to uphold the law. And of course, I know it's not a law. It's a freaking edict from a governor, and it's not been done by the legislature. And even if it was, it'd be unconstitutional. But that's besides the point. So I walk in with my head high, and you need a mask. So the one woman in her office on the wall, oh no, you got to go get checked out before you come in. You got to go in the clerk's office. They take your temperature. Oh yeah. So I go there, and she sticks the infrared thermometer in my head. I said, am I dying? You know, I'm joking with her. And they both come out with masks, and I pick one up, and I hold it in front of my face. I don't even put it on. I just want to give her my money and get the heck out of there, you know? So, and I'm making a nice conversation, and I said, I can't wait till this crap is over with. It's all I did. The lady looks at me with daggers in her eyes. And I mean, you think what I said, the sacrilegious thing, you know? Uh-huh. And I said, well, you know, I said, it's all a scam. And she looked at me, she said, and her eyes are real big. I said, do you know that there's no more people dead this year, and according to the CDC, than in any other year? Uh-huh. I said, so what happened to all the people that die of tuberculosis every year worldwide? Nobody died of tuberculosis. I said, what about heart disease? What about all these other, did they get cured because COVID was here? Uh-huh. And she's looking at me like, and her eye, like she's losing it, like I'm tearing away the thing that she hung on to. Uh-huh. I said, I said, this vaccine is not even a vaccine. Do you know that? I said, they haven't distilled this virus out. They've never even seen it. I don't believe that. You can't tell me that they would do such a thing. I said, let me tell you something. I said, this is not a vaccine, because what it does is it goes in, alters your DNA, and it makes you make the substance that you're going to become immune to. So they alter your DNA and they program it to make COVID. And then your body, after you make your body makes the COVID, your body's going to make an antibody to eat the COVID. I said, you know what that is? I said, that's autoimmune disease. That's cancer. That's leukemia. Anytime the body has to fight itself, that's autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it works like any other vaccine. I said, it's not a vaccine. It's an operating system. It's programming your body to make a substance that the body has to make an antibody. I said, look it up. I said, these are not my words. I'm talking about, you know, very renowned virologists and scientists are saying this. No. She shook her head. And I said, you know, everybody that takes this vaccine, if you don't die after the first two, I said, within the next year or two, when the wild virus comes, it's going to set up a cytostorm, and they're going to die. Everybody's going to die. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't want it to happen. I said, it's a terrible thing, because I said, look, I know you. I like you. I'd hate to think of you dying because you took this vaccine. And she was, like, beside herself. I thought she was going to go screaming and rip my eyes out. And I said, I'm sorry, but that's, I said, I said, look up Koch postulates. You know what Koch postulates are? Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do to determine that you have a virus. And I said, they didn't do that. I said, they didn't do that because they can't. Mm-hmm. And all the cats and ferrets that they tested this on, all it is influenza A and B, which mutates every year. And they had to stop the testing because none of the animals ever survived. I said, how do you think the humans are going to do? Mm-hmm. And I walked out, and she was like incensed. Uh-huh. And I got thinking, I said, you know, God works in strange ways, doesn't he? You know, the last time the world was this evil, he sent the flood and killed everybody except for one family.
Yeah.
I said, but instead of doing that, he's going to have mercy on us. All those people that worship the state and the mainstream media and do whatever they think, guess what? They're going to remove their genes from the gene pool.
That's right.
We're going to be here. The only ones who are going to survive this are the Patriots.
Yeah.
If that vaccine works the way I've researched it, they just took themselves out.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's you know, I don't know if you ever heard of the Darwin Awards, where somebody does something so stupid and they get killed, and they give a Darwin Award and they say he gets an award for removing his genes from the gene pool so he doesn't make any more stupid people like him. Well, that's what this is. This is the Darwin Awards going on. Mm-hmm. They're going to remove themselves from the gene pool, and it's going to be much easier to function, because all those crazy-minded liberal people that believe everything, that the government is benevolent, and that's what she believes. Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, and that Trump, what a horrible, like, Trump, it's Trump. He's not even the president, and they hate him.
Yeah.
The dumber Biden gets, the more they hate Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I see it, too. Of course, I suppose she thinks the government's been her beneficiary, because she's on a stipend, and that dependent.
Yeah, well, yes, that's where she gets her money from, so she can't talk against them too much, right?
Yeah, I get that, but still, well, that's a fascinating story. And stories like that, you see, all the things you just said, I wish that you would write down what you've learned on a piece of paper, call it we used to call them white paper, position papers, you know, just one page, single space, write it down, and put it on the website or something, because it's succinct. You can rattle it off. You know, what you just said is recorded. Somebody could type it, I suppose, and put it down, but you've done a lot of research. Why let it go to waste any more than you have to?
Well, I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I never stop researching. You know, with NLA, we're at it every single day, and after a while, you do pick stuff up, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
So, look, somebody sent me this, and I have to read it, because until most of the people know and accept this kind of information, we're never going to get out of this. Look, we're never going to get out of wearing masks until people pull them off. They don't want us to, and they're not going to let us. It's going to have to be us actually doing it. They have no intention of letting go of this virus thing because it's the point of their control. It's how they're going to keep us in control. So it's, she says, the masks are starting to fall off. The Chinese biology laboratory in Wuhan belongs to GlaxoSmithKline, which, coincidentally, owns Pfizer. Uh-huh. That's the one that produces a vaccine against the virus that accidentally started when Wuhan Biological Lab, which was accidentally funded by Dr. Fauci, who accidentally promotes vaccine. GlaxoSmithKline, by chance, is managed by the finance department of BlackRock, which by chance manages the finances of the Open Foundation Company, that's the Soros Foundation, mm-hmm. which by chance operates Defense French AXA. Coincidentally, Soros owns the German company Winterthur, which coincidentally built the Chinese laboratory in Wuhan and was bought out by German Allianz, which coincidentally has Vanguard as a shareholder, who coincidentally is a shareholder of BlackRock, which coincidentally controls the central banks and manages approximately one-third of the global investment capital. I mean, I'm not done making drawing lines between these people. It's ridiculous. BlackRock, coincidentally, is also a major shareholder in Microsoft, owned by Bill Gates, who coincidentally is a Pfizer shareholder, who, remember, he sells the miracle vaccine, and coincidentally is now the first sponsor of the WHO. Now you understand how a dead bat sold at a wet market in China infected the entire planet. Am I missing a very important family? Yes, the Rothschild. See, the Rothschild family is another rabbit hole that connects back to all this stuff that if I got into it, I'd be here another hour. But all these people are in bed with each other. They've been planning this for over 100 years. This has been in the making. And it's coming to fruition right now before us. So we're living in very exciting times. And they will not succeed. They cannot succeed because they're flying. You look at these guys are demonic. They are cannibals. They torture, they kill children, they drink blood, they do everything that you can imagine. And, of course, that woman would never believe any of this. But they're all in our governments and in our institutions, in our institutions of higher learning. If we go after them and we give them the penalties that they deserve, which are basically the death penalty, you will have only a few people left in Congress and the Senate. You'd have to replace them all. There might be only 10 or 15 out of those houses that could stand up to this. And they made sure they got everybody on the everybody. They got something on everybody before they let them get into those positions. So we're at a climax now with this. And so it requires prayer and a certain knowledge, but we have to talk about it. We have to not be afraid to go out there and talk about it and to give people the example. They look at you like you got three heads, but you know what? She's probably never heard it. I hope that my words haunt her. I don't know if she took the shot or not. A lot of people around here have. And I think what's going to happen is I'm going to see a lot of the people I know aren't going to be around in the next 2 years. You know, I mean, I'm getting older. I'm seeing that anyway because all my age group peers are dying off, it seems like. But this whole vaccine and virus thing is going to – I mean, the virus is baloney. All the virus is a different version of influenza A and B. That's all it is. It's no different. It doesn't have any more of a killing effect than they do. We lose people that have complications of the flu every year, and we don't close the world down. They just figured it was time to pull this down. I mean, they predicted it. They made movies about it. They predict, oh, we're definitely going to have a pandemic during Trump's term in office. Like, they stated it like fact, and it was fact. And it was fact because they engineered it. And they also knew that there would be a surge later on in the year when they let everybody take their mask off, because when you wear a mask and you hold all that stuff in your face and you don't get other people's exosomes, your immunity goes down. When somebody breathes on you or coughs on you, The God knew that we were going to be social beings. He didn't expect us to stand 6 feet apart. There's no science behind that either. It turns out that this virus is aerosol air. It runs on aerosol particles. So if you want to stay far enough away from somebody to not get the aerosol that they just coughed out, you have to be 30 feet apart. Can you imagine functioning 30 feet apart? The whole 6 feet thing is ridiculous, but 30 feet. And then you buy these little masks, and what does it say on the side of the box? Will not stop a virus. All the science is against it. There's no. They made it up as they went along, and just like the emperor that had no clothes on, we're so stupid we go along with it. Oh, I got a new thing I do too. When I want to go in somewhere, I take a bottle of water and I open it up and I'm sipping it. I was in a restaurant the other night picking up pizza, and they got a bar. It's a very popular restaurant. And you got people sitting along the bar, and you got people on the tables and that, and everybody got to have masks on. But the people sitting at the bar and the tables, they have no mask on. And the people walking in waiting to get their pizza are, like, right across from them. So I hold my water, and if they go, man, I say, oh, no, I'm under the drink rule. The virus can't get me. I got an open bottle of water here I'm drinking. I'm allowed. It's the restaurant rule. Well, if they can make things up, I can make things up. I'm using their things, and I'm applying them the way that I think I should. So as long as I got that open bottle of water in front of my face, I'm immune. Because if I'm not immune, all those people sitting down right over there, 4 feet away, 5 feet away from me, guess what? They're all going to get sick too, aren't they? So it doesn't have any common sense to it. If you start looking around at the stupid things that they're doing, there is no rhyme or reason that you could believe that any of it is true. Just put a little common sense to it. And, you know, if this was really a pandemic, where are the people not dropping in the streets? There's not a bunch of bodies piled up. We don't have ovens going where we burn them to get rid of them real fast. It's a lie from hell. And people got to get their heads around that. So, anyway, I'm going to end with that. That's my rant. And I don't think we have anybody in the queue. I don't think that's happened in a long time. So it's 11:30. If anybody want to go in and ask a question, otherwise we're going to end up closing up early, which is almost sacrilegious. I usually have people left over. Okay. Well, I see nobody. Going once, going twice.
I'm thinking.
Say that? What? April
is in the queue, but also anybody who wants to get into the queue, star 6 and I believe a 1. Star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue.
April, go ahead, April. You're unmuted. Now you got to unmute yourself, maybe. I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
You got me?
I do.
Okay. Since nobody was in, I figured I might as well put my 2 cents in because I was listening to what you were saying. I agree 100%. I'm constantly telling people don't get the vaccine. I do my research. I watch all the news. I watch Congress. I watch the scientists. I got videos of a scientist that has said it's not a vaccine. It's actually a treatment, but it's a dangerous treatment that can actually kill you. And part of the way it can kill you is once you get the vaccine, if you are exposed to the coronavirus, you can die from it then.
And absolutely. When it comes in the wild, it's going to set up a cytostorm in your system and you're going to die. You're going to die from cardiopulmonary.
Yeah, but, so I keep warning people, and people are believing me, but they're still getting the vaccine because their relative told them to do it.
You know, because I want to travel or some other such crazy stuff. I can't believe how stupid people are. They don't believe they're going to die, I think.
No, and I watched Rand Paul go off on Fauci yesterday, and mm-hmm. he was saying to him how the vaccine is not proven to be safe, not proven to be good, and he was saying about the coronavirus is not a pandemic. It has proven itself not to be a pandemic. So people were just fooled, and what gets me is that I think it's ironic. I mean, I never realized how stupid people were. I really didn't. I thought more Americans had more common sense to use their own God-given sense to realize they're trying to kill us. And they're not realizing it. And
why people perish due to their ignorance.
Yeah.
they made their decision. They were told. See, I feel I have an obligation to tell people. And then if they don't want to listen and they go and do it, well, you know what? Case it off. You know, so we can't help your stupidness.
I want to warn new mothers out there. They say that the coronavirus does not affect young children or has a very slim chance of it. Like it's one in, what, a million?
Yeah,
The pediatric doctors are slipping the coronavirus vaccine to the children without the mother's knowledge and without their consent. They are using a different name and giving babies the vaccine.
That's a crime that they deserve to be hung for. And let me tell you something else you might not know. This is what you should tell people about that vaccine. Because that vaccine is not proven, and it is experimental, if you take it and you die, your life insurance will not pay off.
Yeah, and you can't sue either because it's an experimental vaccine.
Well, you can't sue with any vaccine. Even they have an immunity that the government gave them, which I don't agree with. But that's on any vaccine they got this immunity. But the fact of the matter is the insurance company is not going to cover you. So whatever you think you're going to leave your kids or whatever bills you think are going to get paid off, guess what? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but we're under common law, remember that. So we get to the other side, we can sue them, and if there's anyone left to sue. Yeah.
Well, you can, that immunity is a bunch of baloney, but the insurance companies, they have a specific thing in there that says that if you take an experimental thing, they also say if you die skydiving, you're going to have to pay. That's their prerogative to do that. So if you're stupid enough to take an experimental vaccine, I don't think you can sue the insurance company. I think that you should have looked at it better and weighed all the possibilities. They're not telling people.
They're making people sign consent forms.
They give them the authority to do that.
Look, here's the deal. And everybody that gives that vaccine is culpable, is suable, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when they give it to you, they're supposed to tell you, number one, they got to get a signed consent, and if they don't do that, they're done.
Yep.
And the other thing is they're supposed to tell you that it's not proven and it's experimental. How many people would actually sit there and sign that consent after the nurse told you, well, this is experimental and we don't know what it's going to do, and we need you to sign your consent to in order to take away any liability from us? So if they're not doing that, if they're not doing that very specifically up front, then they're all liable, just like those soldiers that shot the prisoners in Nuremberg in the prison camps. And they said, "Well, we were following orders." They said, "Well, that's an order you're not supposed to follow." And they're going to be prosecuted under that same thing. So these people that think that they're just doing, you know, what should be done, and that their higher ups are all knowing, it's not a defense for them. Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's something that you might not know. The scientists said there was only one experiment done on animals with the coronavirus vaccine, and there is a 21% mortality rate. 21% of people that take it will die or have a very severe reaction to it.
Well, I got news for you. Every time they tried to make a vaccine for corona, which flu is, influenza A and B,
it failed.
All the animals died. Every animal died. The cats and ferrets. So they use cats and ferrets because they're susceptible to the coronavirus, the respiratory. So I don't know. I don't know if 21. Look, what happens is, if it doesn't get you the first round, it gets you the second round. It's called a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
And I don't. I mean, I don't know where they come up with 21%. I don't know who did that. Who did?
I can send you the video on the scientist that tried to get it out there, and they blocked his video. I have the video.
I think it's worse than 21. I think maybe it's 21% the first year, but I'll bet you by this.
Well, not on people, on the animals they tested. That he said it's the only test that was ever done, and the mortality rate is 21%. He said, I don't know about you. but that would scare the living daylights out of me, where there's no way you're using me as an experiment.
Yeah, and I think it's worse than that. I think it's worse than 21%. I mean, we already have 10,000 people that they're admitting
well,
have died from their...
He also said that he warned all the vaccine places to take out certain components in it that is making it dangerous, and they did not heed his warning. And that's why he went on air to try to get this out to people. And just like the American Frontier Doctors, just like they blocked them, now they got their own channel to do it. To speak, this doctor, they blocked this doctor, too, from saying the truth. And I also have on hot mic in the White House after a press conference they did, where the guy comes in and says, take off your mask. The coronavirus has a percentage rate of 0.01 to 0.03, just like the flu. And they said, oh, so this was a hoax. And, well, I don't know if I'd call it a hoax. So I got that video, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of information. All you got to do is look. Yeah. It's out there.
Everybody needs to copy the videos that you see that are giving good information. Copy them, because they are deleting the videos so people don't know. And I send them to everybody that I know because I want them to know. And by the way, you said something else before. I have been reading this book, Behold the Pale Horse. Did you ever hear of it?
Yeah.
Who killed Kennedy? It was the driver who killed Kennedy.
The
driver who was part of our government, it was a hit. He was assassinated. And if you look at the videos of when Kennedy was killed, you could see the blood splatter goes to the back. If he was shot in the back of the head, the blood splatter would have been in the front.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Yeah, anyway.
That's what I throw that in there.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Jay from North Carolina. How you doing, Jay?
Okay. I've got this letter I wrote down. I think it was something that Trump said, but I'm driving right through the middle of Kansas City right now, and I can't read it. But I'd love to read it to you guys. But. You know what? You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink?
Yeah, exactly.
You can lead a person to honesty, but you can't make him think.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. And I feel bad, you know what I mean? It's like you look at these people and they're so ignorant. And then when you try to sell them something, they get angry.
I just came out of California, man. They're mass Nazis out there.
Unbelievable.
But I would love to read this to you guys. I heard it on the radio one day, and I had to keep backing it up, and I wrote down the whole thing notebook. It hit me that hard. I was like, oh my God, I have got to write that down. So,
well, you'll have to do it when you're pulled over.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of town, too, so.
Yeah, wow.
But nobody was keying up, and you were talking about all the things that happened to you, and it would have gone right with what you just read.
Yeah, well, do it next week. It'll still be fresh. This isn't going away anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, usually I'm driving, though, so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll text it to you guys or email it or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. I can read it for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Be safe.
See ya.
Yeah. I got James from Michigan.
Yes. I enjoyed that water theory. You know, I enjoyed it so well, I thought, you know, if in fact, I mean, I get a case of water and I say, here's some immunity, you know, this is blessed water, you know, and go ahead and have a bottle, but go ahead and take the lid off and don't drink it fast. That's the best way to get immunity.
Right.
You know, because, you know, that would be, it'd be like heaven sent. And, you know, since I attempt to be a witness for Jesus, you know, or the Father, anyhow, I figured, you know, maybe I could turn their noggin around and say, well, I don't have a horse. Well, in fact, I don't have a Shetland pony, you know, but if I coaxed them that this is, you know, holy water because it's been blessed, there's some immunity, but don't drink it fast, you know, and get people to go around, hey, man, I got some holy water. I know it's in a bottle, but, you know, as long as I gave one to, you know, a multitude of people, I mean, God would supply more because that's my belief. And then the word would get around that, hey, you can't drink it fast, though, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. Yeah.
Well, it's just an idea, but I did come up with something, you know,
I call it restaurant holy water.
Oh, restaurant holy water.
Because you're allowed to eat and drink with your mask off. And the virus won't come at you if you're sitting at a table in a restaurant.
Right, right, right.
You got a drink open or something like that, you can sit at the bar with a drink.
Yeah.
But the minute your drink is done, you got to put your mask back on.
Oh, no. Drink it slow.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Yep.
I got Brian from Looks Like Oregon. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Good evening, Gerard. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So I was recently looking at the U.S. code, and I thought I'd bring this to NLA's attention just to look over themselves, but also see what maybe we could do to take action upon this. But it's dealing with the immigration crisis that we do have down at the border, of course. You know, there are legal processes for people to come to our country, which is great. But on the other side, we're having problems with illegal entry into the country. And so if you actually go on USC, let's see, Title 8, I do believe, hold on, let me get to the header, USC Title 8, Chapter 12, Subchapter 2, Part 8, so the general penalty provisions for aliens and nationality, and then essentially Section 1321 is prevention of unauthorized landing of aliens. So I think they're actually talking about UFOs coming in soon. Actually, 1324 is the one really to be looking into, and that's bringing in and harboring certain aliens. And it runs through the criminal penalties. And real quick, so just one, we have any person who, knowing a person is an alien, brings, attempts, or brings to the United States, on and on, knowing reckless disregard, knowing of reckless someone coming and harboring, et cetera, et cetera. And an interesting thing down at the bottom, so it's a good read, I would recommend it, but down at the very bottom in, in paragraph 4, it covers the penalties. So in case of a person who has brought aliens into the United States in violation of this subsection, the sentence otherwise provided for may be increased by up to 10 years if, and I think they might hit all four of these criteria, so we have A, the offense was part of an ongoing commercial organization or enterprise. So
there
I think they
go.
Won that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. B, aliens were transported in groups of 10 or more.
Okay.
And C, we have I, aliens were transported in a manner that endangered their lives, which we have our wonderful COVID is endangering everybody not in a restaurant or a bar.
Right.
And two, or double I, the aliens presented a life-threatening health risk to people in the United States. So we
could charge the president and vice president with these U.S. codes, right?
Down the entire gamut, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was also interesting, I was actually looking at that a couple weeks ago, And I noticed that on March 16th, they changed it. I'm not sure where or what they changed, but it might be worth looking into as well. So, yeah, just
that's
a thought.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. We'll put that in our coffers and see if we can make hay with it somewhere down the line, right? Thank you, Brian. Okay.
Indeed. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
And that brings us to Jim from New York.
How's it going tonight?
Good. How you been, Jim?
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, that caller that was on a couple back there, you know, that said he wanted to come on next week or whatever, and then you come up with things, and I immediately thought of the comments on the sidebar of the website. It holds a lot of info.
Right.
You know, so he could put that on there, and you could put yours on there, too, if you can get it written down, you know. I mean, I came up on the last end of it, so.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I'm always spouting stuff off. I should start writing it down, you know.
Actually, if you can just record it, you could, you know, probably get people that would, you know, if it's not too long, somebody will say, yeah, I can do that, you know.
Yeah, and, yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah, we have a lady in Pennsylvania that does the transcripts. I wouldn't want to overload her anymore, but if it was just a couple of pages, you know, a 10-minute soliloquy, you know, that would be easy to translate.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I had.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Okay.
Bye.
See you later. Now we got Brent there, but I think he was just in there for the what do you call it? Unless he wanted to talk again, I don't think so.
Did you unmute me?
I did because you were in the queue.
I didn't know that.
I think you were in the queue because we had to unmute you, so you just stayed in there.
Well, that's okay. No, I didn't have anything important to say that came to mind, but...
Well, we're ready to sign off then, unless you got some quick words of wisdom. We got a few minutes.
Well, I do think it's important that we do talk, as you said, and your story that you told is a powerful way to present information. You didn't just give information, you built it around a story. And the story is memorable. I'll remember it. And you're right, that gal, there's no telling. You put the information in her head, she may come around and be a promoter of the idea you gave her. I've seen those kind of things happen even when people get upset, real upset, because they feel personally attacked. But the way you told your story, you were real nice to her, and you said things like, I don't want that to happen to you. You're a nice lady.
Right.
You probably really, you weren't just making that up. She probably was a nice lady otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's the kind of thing that makes a difference, getting the information out. And I'm sure that you do that on Patriot Soapbox during the week, too. I know you get on and talk for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably tell that story next week, won't you?
I can, yeah.
Yeah.
And I probably should.
Yeah.
And I try to include things like talking points. Like I said to her, I said, you know, they never use Koch's postulates. I said, you know what Koch's postulates is? I said, that's high school biology. Yeah. If you're gonna identify a virus, you have to. That's the gold standard star test for a virus that they've been using since they discovered them. So if they couldn't use Koch's postulate, it means the whole thing is a fraud. I said, look up Koch's postulates. See, that's something that she's going to remember.
Yeah.
Koch's postulates. I said, I didn't make this stuff up. It's right there. You should have had it in high school.
Yeah, I should have. I should have remembered that one. I'm going to look it up. Is it a C-O-K-E-S or what?
It's K. Koch's, I think. K-O.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure, but you might want to try both. I don't know. I'm a horrible speller, so don't know by what I say.
Oh, you did a good biology class, huh?
Okay. It's K-O. I thought
K-O-C-H.
K-O-C-H.
Oh, okay.
It's like Koch.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the people that say it, they say Koch's postulates, but I don't know what the proper pronunciation would be.
Things go better with Coke, and as Americans, we would say Coke.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, thanks a lot, Brent.
Yeah, that's my final word on the matter.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
thanks for coming, everybody. Thank you, Brent and John and everybody that spoke. And we'll see you here next week, same time, same station. God bless. Keep the faith and keep the powder dry.